Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coming down the home stretch, final hour of the show. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can hear us on 106.3, and you can always hear us at the Game Nashville app. Pleased to be joined by Paul Dottino, who covers the Giants for WFAN Radio up in New York. Great station, great tradition. Giants coming to town for the opening week against the Titans. So, Paul, first of all, thanks for joining us, and can you get us up to date on any injury news? I know some guys have been banged up for the Giants, particularly on the defensive line. Any news today?
Yeah, first off, appreciate it very much. Try to hold off the rain this weekend. I really don't want to get soaked like a sponge. But as far as the Giants' injuries are concerned, Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari, the two edge rushers, they're premier pass rushers on this team. Both of those guys have been nursing various injuries over the last couple of weeks and have been very limited in practice. We will know more tomorrow. The team is off today. But as of yesterday's injury report, they were both limited. I would suspect they'll continue to be limited tomorrow. And my guess is that neither one will play. But again, that's simply a guess at this point because neither Thibodeau or Ojulari played a ton of snaps during practice or during the preseason because of various bumps and bruises. I just kind of think it's a lot to ask those guys to be ready for week one, given those situations. I think those are the two that are most concerning. I would not necessarily put too much into what you've read about Sterling Shepard. He's a full go. I think he was just a little bit sore at practice the other day, so they put him down as limited. But the previous week to that, he's been going full, coming off the Achilles. So I think you'll see Shepard. The other name on the list is of really no consequence. That would be Dane Belton, their fourth-round draft pick, who potentially would be the third safety on the roster. But he's coming back from a fractured collarbone, and he's been wearing the red jersey at practice. So you're not going to see him on Sunday.
Paul, you got a new coach, a new GM, and you've got a quarterback and a lead running back that are both sort of trying out for one way or the other. They've got the contract set, so it's kind of a prove-it year for both Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. So what do you think is long-term ideal for the Giants here? Do you want them both to flourish and keep the jobs, or is it almost like, look, if it doesn't go well, they're just as well starting over at both positions?
Well, the Giants actually have, in my opinion, three guys in that boat. Even though Kenny Golladay is not entering his contract season, this is a guy they paid wide receiver one money to coming off of those 2,000-yard seasons in Detroit. And then he just really came up empty, fought through four different injuries last year. And then after Jones got hurt, the offense was in the tank anyway. And Golladay did not have a single touchdown catch, which he is incredibly embarrassed about. So he wants to go back to being a 1,000-yard receiver. Now, if he's right and Jones does what they believe he can do and Barkley is healthy and plays the full 17 games, all of a sudden that's a hell of a triple threat for the Giants. Now, in terms of the contracts that you're talking about, if things go right for the Giants, Daniel Jones gets off to a terrific start. They try to negotiate a new deal with him sometime around the middle point of the season, and they lock him up. And then with Saquon Barkley, it's very simple. They throw the tag on him. It's that easy. He'd be a $10 million running back next year, and they would have the rights to him for another season, and that would buy them some time, given the fact that they're going to give Jones so much money if he flourishes. That's the perfect scenario for this team. Whether or not it happens remains to be seen, but that's the way I think they'd love to draw it up.
We'll talk with Paul Dottino, excuse me, Paul Dottino, WFAN out of New York, discussing this weekend's game, the Giants versus the Titans. Now, from what you've seen, Paul, throughout camps and throughout the preseason, what should we expect from this New York Giants team?
You know, that's the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. We really don't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. Mike Kafka is going to call the plays from upstairs in the booth. The, you know, 4 years on the Chiefs staff where he was the passing game coordinator slash also quarterback's coach. He's getting the controls. Brian Daboll, who was hired here as the head coach from Buffalo after being the OC up there, as uncomfortable as he is with giving up the play calling, the Giants led the NFL in virtually every offensive category during the preseason. Kafka's offense was very fun to watch. It was very productive. It was totally different than anything the Giants fans have seen around here since, my God, could be the days of Fran Tarkington. That's how long ago I think I could go back. And on the other side, Don Martindale, Wink as we all know him, coming over from the Baltimore Ravens, we did not see very much of what he's going to do because, you know, even though Kafka, you know, was very productive on the other side of the ball, they were very vanilla. And I think that's part of the beauty of what the Giants wanted to do. They're going to unleash a Wizard of Oz game plan on both sides of the ball, something of which the Titans have not seen, won't know what to expect, and they're going to get hit like a left cross to the jaw. That's the idea. The Giants want to catch them by surprise, flat-footed, and they're going to throw all kinds of stuff at them. One of the things that I do believe you're going to find out very, very quickly is that in a lot of ways, both of these units, offensively and defensively, are positionless. That is, you're going to see guys in all different positions, not their traditional spots, not doing traditional things. The linebackers, the defensive linemen, the defensive tackles, the edge rushers, the defensive ends, the safeties, the cornerbacks. Wink doesn't believe in positions. He believes in just putting 11 guys out there on the field, and I'm coming after you. And that's just the way he does it. So there's really no way to know what to expect.
Now, Paul, how loud was the noise during the offseason in regards to the GM, Joe Schoen, and the head coach potentially making a trade to bring in a quarterback rather than – and I understand what he said at the beginning of, hey, we're going to allow – Daniel Jones to prove himself, but how loud was the noise in New York about, hey, listen, we need to bring a quarterback in now?
Well, there are some fans who are definitely already turned against Daniel Jones, but in terms of real noise, it only came from the hot air outside of New York, mm-hmm. from people around the country who have absolutely no idea what this organization is trying to do. Those of us who've been around every day know that they are committed to Daniel Jones. They figure that by the midpoint of the season, they will have enough information to figure out whether or not he is the guy who they want to go forward with. They've been incredibly impressed so far. That is the coaching staff. He has checked every box that they've wanted to this point. The last 3 weeks of camp, including the last two preseason games he played and the practices since, he has gotten better and better and better and has been razor sharp. They have tremendous hopes for him. But again, by the midpoint of the season, if he hasn't clicked, if he turns out to be mediocre, or for that matter, can't stay on the field because of health, then I think you'll see Tyrod Taylor be the bridge quarterback in 2023 as they look for somebody to grab the reins in 2024. But that's only if Jones is mediocre. If he's good, they could worry about maybe putting the tag on him instead of Barkley. If he's really good, he's going to get himself an extension.
Now, has Barkley shown throughout camp and everything that he's fully recovered and ready to go?
He looks scary good. Scary good. I remember when he came in as a rookie and had 2,000 yards from scrimmage, caught 91 passes out of the backfield, you know, ran for like 1,300 yards. Yeah, he looks like that guy who came out of Penn State again. He has battled all types of injuries between the serious knee injury, plus a bad hamstring, plus a bad ankle. He's gone through a lot of crap the last few years, and he's angry. He's angry. I understand that Derrick Henry is very angry, too, because of the short exit in the playoffs last year from Tennessee. I think it's going to be one hell of a time watching two angry running backs on Sunday with fires in their belly that could light up the entire continent with flames. I think these guys are both driven out of their minds to kick people's butts this year. And I'm looking forward to a really, really exciting game on Sunday because of these two guys in particular.
Yep, they will be taking center stage. Paul, real quick before we let you go, Kadarius Toney, he seems to be an X factor for them, a guy that's got a lot of upside first-round pick. How has he looked in camp?
Well, to be frank with you, he's been limited for much of it because of an off-season knee procedure that he had. He says he's 100% now. He told us this past week he's absolutely positively going to play. They did not list him on the injury report this week, so we have every reason to believe him. You're right. I mean, he's a mosquito out there. He's incredibly difficult to catch. He's very difficult to stay with because of his juke ability. An explosive, exciting player, which they saw flashes of as a rookie. And there's no doubt. I mean, you know, you think about what the Chiefs were able to do with Tyreek Hill. You think about what the Bills were able to do with Cole Beasley. Well, think of that kind of amalgamation into one body in Kadarius Toney. That's kind of what the Giants are hoping to get out of him. And, of course, they still have Wandale Robinson, their second-round pick this year, who has a lot of similar traits to Toney. And then there's Sterling Shepard, who is really one of the better slot receivers, if not in the league, certainly in the National Football Conference. So they feel like they've rebuilt the offensive line, that it can be functional, and they certainly believe they've got the weapons. Daniel Jones needs to make it happen. That's why mediocre is not good enough for him. Mediocre is going to get him the exit door. He's got to be good.
Paul, I can't promise anything about the weather on Sunday. We're hoping for the best, but enjoy your trip down to Nashville. Thank you so much for the insight today, and enjoy the game.
All right, fellas, you too. Have a good one.
All right, that's Paul DeTino. He covers the Giants, covers them thoroughly for WFAN. Really, really good stuff there. We will unpack it when we come back. Stay tuned. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game, and let me start it by telling you about Loan Pronto. Loan Pronto can help you. We just closed a deal with them in our house on Monday, or rather on Tuesday. Loan Pronto is working with a lot of home buyers and homeowners right now as we speak with great mortgage rates. They've got 30-year fixed APRs in the fours, 15-year APRs that start with a three. So with the high home values, lots of people are refinancing or maybe getting a home equity line of credit, all kinds of things that can get you cash out and use that cash to pay off a high interest credit card bill, a car loan, a second mortgage, fuel something for a home improvement project you've been looking for. The money's in your house, and Loan Pronto can get it out for you fast. It's an all-digital, super-fast process with virtually zero paperwork and no hassle. I can tell you that firsthand. So call Loan Pronto right now and dial them up at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Tune into the College Football Game of the Week on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Saturday as the Kentucky Wildcats take on the Florida Gators starting at 6 o'clock. College Football Game of the Week is brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. Back here on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Also, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show this Sunday live from Sonny's Patio and Pub Refuge, located at 6th Avenue North in Nashville. Join Jared Stillman and forever Titans wide receivers Chris Sanders and Derek Mason from 1 to 3 prior to the Titans taking on the New York football Giants. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Harman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, and Ounce of Hope. So just talked about the Giants and what to expect. Now, you know, I thought Paul brought a good report there. You can tell he's very excited about this season for the New York Giants. We'll see how it goes. But what were some things, some takeaways from you guys about what to expect on Sunday when the Giants come to town?
Well, they may not have, you know, their two defensive linemen and Thibodeau and
Ojulari.
Excuse me. They may not have those two, and I'm sure that's those would be huge losses for the Giants if those two individuals can't play, considering what defensive coordinator Wink Martindale loves to do as far as scheme-wise, loves to put pressure on the offensive line and put pressure on the quarterback. So they're coming with design blitzes, exotic blitzes. So, but not having those, potentially having those two guys, it may take away a little bit of what Wink may want to do, but then again, it may not. So, and then, you know, also the, you know, Saquon Barkley. He said Saquon has looked great.
Yeah.
So I would love to see if, you know, he's back to rookie form.
You and I are thinking the same thing. The same two things jumped out to me is, can the offensive line for the Titans, with the new pieces in there, can they handle the blitz packages from Wink Martindale? And maybe the job is a little bit easier if the two offensive linemen are either compromised or can't play, or maybe one of them can't play. But if you can handle the pressure from the different spots, that's going to go a long way towards getting the offense on track. You mentioned Barkley. That has been a big theme from Giants camp, that he looks good, he's motivated, he wants that next big contract. So that has jumped out to me. And then I have wondered this a lot. You heard Paul, who covers the Giants, say the Giants would love to see Daniel Jones rise up and win the job going forward. But something tells me a lot of Giants fans would like to see something new. They would not mind having a crack at one of the quarterbacks coming out of the draft next year. They're just ready. They've seen enough. And Joe Schoen has decided to roll the dice and say, okay, if I've got a franchise tag him, that's going to cost me something like $9 million more to do it. But I'll cross that bridge if I come to it. Because I think it's basically saying, look, I can go either way. If he surprises me and has a great year, we'll deal with it. We'll sign him to a new deal. But if not, we're willing to start over.
Titans defensive coordinator Shane Bowen spoke earlier today and was asked, of course, about Saquon Barkley and what to expect from him as he tries to have a bounce back year. Here's what he had to say.
Also, just preparing for a guy like Saquon, I know a lot of the guys, and they're excited for that type of a challenge too. I know he's kind of coming in here this year with a lot of juice as well.
Yeah, big challenge. Obviously, I mean, he's been one of the best in the league when he's rolling, you know. So, I mean, we're expecting him at full force, 100%. I mean, you hear all the reports about him coming out of camp. So, our guys know. Our guys know, like, he's going to be a big part of what they do, as he should be. And we're going to have to find ways to stop him. We're going to hopefully not let him get started in the run game. And then we know that he's going to be in different spots to utilize his skill set in the passing game. So we got to make sure that he's a focal point of what we're trying to do here this weekend to stop them.
And I think he will be the focal point of that offense. I mean, there's no denying that's what he's going to be. But, you know, I look, you guys were just talking about him. He had a great rookie year, 1,300 yards, only played 13 games in 2019 and went over 1,000 yards. And then the last 2 years, two games in 2020 with 34 yards, 13 games last year, 593 yards. You're really going to have to show me something to say that he can get back to where he was his rookie year.
Yeah, he had that early injury two years ago, came back, and the thing that was probably most troublesome was that when he played last year, he wasn't nearly – as good. He didn't look all the way back, banged up, and then missed, I think, the last four games last year. So it's like, you know, is he going to get back there? Can he get back there? But you hear the coaching staff, you heard Derrick Henry earlier today, they're giving him the benefit of the doubt. They do believe that he will bounce back, and especially in week one, that's the scary part, is wear and tear over the course of the season. Maybe you see some of the things that have plagued him. But in week one, with him fresh and motivated, that's a game changer.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure he finally feels 100% healthy. You know, dealing with knee injury and talking with Paul in New York on WFAN, he's dealing with a hamstring issue, dealing with ankle issues, let alone the knee. All of that within the last, you know, two or three years. Now I'm sure he finally feels, I've had an off season where I can I didn't have to rehab. I can work out and do some of the things that I did normally. He has to feel good coming into this season. And like you said, well, this may be the worst time to play the New York Giants. Not just because, you know, like we jokingly said, hey, listen, bad teams don't know they're bad the first game of the season. Not just that, but I think you run into a healthy Saquon Barkley. You run into a healthy and determined and more polished Daniel Jones. What does that equate to for the Giants, and what does that mean for the Tennessee Titans as they come in here this Sunday? So, you know, it may look like a W, and I'm sure every Titan fan across the board is striking up W's, and I know Jared is saying, that's a W, that's a W.
I don't know.
But when you play a team like this early in the season, first game of the season, and everybody's pretty much healthy, and out of, you know, their camp, they're saying Daniel Jones is looking really good. You know, this might be one of those games where, you know, what you thought was going to happen doesn't happen at all.
I'll give you a little history lesson, and Derek remembers this very well. The very first game in the stadium.
Uh-huh. And what was Adelphia at the time?
Yeah, Adelphia Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
A bad team. Bad team. Had the Titans beat. Very first game as the Titans.
Was
remember
that
this game?
Achilles Smith?
Well, Achilles Smith had to come in the game. And I think you could make the argument that had Jeff Blake not mm-hmm. gotten hurt, they might have hung on. They had certainly had a better chance. Jeff Blake was playing a really good game. Jeff yes. Blake could have some good games. He hit a bomb.
Really
Carl
good
Pickens
games
in that game. It was a beautiful throw.
No, it was Darnay Scott. It wasn't Carl Pickens.
Oh, was it Darnay Scott?
Yeah, Darnay Scott. I remember that play.
Ooh, what a throw!
You know who had been the Bengals quarterback the year before?
Well, Neil O'Donnell was on the team. Yeah, so they had switched. Jeff Blake was playing well. He got hurt, and they had to put Achilles Smith in, who was a rookie.
And he wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready, and they went into a shell and just tried to run the clock, and they didn't run much time off. And remember, Yancey Thigpen, I think, had a big punt return to get kind of things jump started. But you guys were down, what, 8-9 points in the fourth quarter, came back and won a last second field goal. So that was one where you just never know what you're going to see on opening day. You can't ever go in there and say, this is a lopsided game. We know exactly what's going to happen. It just doesn't happen opening week.
Okay. So, Willie, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but it's time for trivia.
Oh.
I'm going to put you on the spot and I'll help you, but we're actually I'm calling this play on the air. We have Luke Combs tickets to give away. This show was just announced this morning. Tickets aren't even on sale yet. They go on sale Friday, September 16th at 10 o'clock. But this is a huge concert at Nissan Stadium, April 15th. I'm going to make the people work for it.
Yeah,
you have
Willie.
To answer two questions.
This ain't no easy Willie questions them like eight, you know, hints.
And I want to do this on the air. 615-737-1025. Load up the lines. Luke Combs tickets on the line. You got to earn these because I want them. And
gotta
I can't
earn
have
it.
Them. So I'm going to make you earn them. Coming up next, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Back here, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Luke Combs tickets on the line. Nissan Stadium on April 15th. You can't even buy these yet. They go on sale Friday, September 16th at 10 o'clock. Beer never broke my heart either. That is very true. So you must earn these. The lines are loaded. People wanting to win these tickets.
Earn it.
You have to answer a trivia question from Willie and from me. You got to get them both right to win these tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta earn it.
I'm making people work for this.
Okay.
That's a good prize.
So I guess as I think about it, if we're doing this on the air, if somebody gets the first question right and then your question wrong, I have to come up with a new question. So I'll be ready for doing
that. Or vice versa. Mine's harder.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it'll much more likely to be that way, but we'll find out. So just have a backup question or a secondary question ready to go.
Okay.
All right, who was our first contestant?
Let's go to Brad. Brad, welcome in. Are you ready to answer some Titans trivia?
Let's go for it.
All right, I need to know, we're talking about opening weekend. Once upon a time, Marcus Mariota was a rookie quarterback playing in his first NFL game. Who was the game against?
Hello.
Jaguars.
The Jaguars. Incorrect.
Thanks for trying, Brad. All right, let's go to Josh. Josh, welcome in.
All right, Josh, who was Marcus Mariota's first game against back in 2015?
I want to say there was a bunch of hype about him playing Jameis Winston in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That would be correct.
That is correct.
All right. You're one away from a championship.
All right. Here is my question. With a win on Sunday, Mike Vrabel will get his 44th win as head coach of the Tennessee Titans, which would move him third all time on the wins list behind Jeff Fisher, who's number one, and Bum Phillips, who is number two. He would actually tie for third all time. Who is third all time currently for wins as a head coach for the Tennessee Titans?
Let me think about it. Give me 30 seconds.
Not 30 seconds.
Ken Whisenhunt.
Thanks for playing, Josh. Appreciate it. Let's go to Deborah. Deborah, welcome in.
Hey.
All right, Willie, you got another question?
I mean, no, she should be able to answer Willie's question. If she's been listening, she should be able to answer.
No, you can't just get a freebie.
It's
a freebie.
No, because, okay, what if she doesn't answer your new one? Someone answers it, then you got to keep on.
Or do you want me to go first?
You got to
keep on going.
I'll go first.
I'm ready for
it. Okay, go.
All right, let's just have an offshoot of the first one. Marcus Mariota's first game, that is indeed the case. The Falcons are playing the Saints this week, so it's a rematch. Mariota against Jameis Winston. In that game, Marcus Mariota had a huge game, and they won by a score of 42-14. Marcus Mariota had 4 touchdown passes. Can you tell me what number Marcus Mariota wore for the Titans? What uniform number did Marcus Mariota wear for the Titans?
Oh, my gosh, Deborah. This was crazy.
What? Did we lose it?
No.
Okay.
Need a guess.
5, 4, 3, 8. She got it.
That's
okay.
Correct. Just kind of popped in there last second, didn't it?
Yeah. All right, the second question. With a win on Sunday, Mike Vrabel would be tied for third all-time on the wins list for head coaches for the Titans. Who is currently third with 44 wins behind Jeff Fisher and Bum Phillips?
That's with the Titans, Coach.
That's the franchise, so you got to include the Oilers.
Oh, my God. I know this.
Five, four, three.
But I don't know.
That is blinking.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah.
Should I give a hint?
Nope.
No hint?
I don't think so. This is big. This is a big prize.
It is a big prize. All right, let's go to Clint. Clint, welcome in.
Hello, hello.
All right, Clint.
Do you want me to go first, or you got it?
Well, your questions are the same. I think you got to get the qualifying question.
Okay.
We know this. Ken Whisenhunt, for all his faults, was really good in week one. He won both of his openers. They beat the Buccaneers in Marcus Mariota's debut. That was also Ken Whisenhunt's debut. The following year, they also won their first game of the season. Who was that against? Oh, excuse me. The year, yes.
Can you repeat that, please?
Ken Whisenhunt was the coach for less than two seasons for the Tennessee Titans. Yet he won both of his opening games. In 2015, we just talked about Marcus Mariota's debut. The year before, they also won the first game in Ken Whisenhunt's short tenure. It was an AFC team. Who did they beat on the road in the first game of 2014 to start the Ken Whisenhunt era? They beat them 26-10 on the road. AFC opponent.
Sheesh.
It really looked good at the time. Hey, 1-0, this new coach.
Oh, yeah.
Everything looks great.
All right. 5, 4, 3, two, one.
Play the Pats.
Who did you say?
The Pats.
The Pats.
The Pats.
It was not the Pats.
Sorry, Clint. All right. 615-737-1025. Got Lions available. Let's go to Devontae.
What's going on, fellas?
All right.
Devontae, who did they beat in the first game of the Ken Whisenhunt era, 2014? AFC opponent on the road, 26-10.
Kansas City.
That is correct. The Kansas City Chiefs. Mike, now, can he get the second part?
All right, here we go. Mike Vrabel with a win on Sunday would be tied third all-time on the franchise wins list for a head coach behind Jeff Fisher and Bum Phillips. Mm-hmm. Who would he tie? Who is currently
Come on,
third?
Fellas. Come on, fellas. I'm from Nashville. Jerry Glanville.
It's a good guess, but no.
I hated everything. I mean, it was just awful. I don't want
Sorry,
to say anything again. Seriously, it's that bad.
Man.
He was close, I guess.
Have I made this too difficult?
No, you didn't.
I mean, I have a hint that I can give, but I'm not
See,
going to.
See, but this is the problem we may run into. Somebody doesn't answer your question.
I know. You got to get two.
But it's usually, you know, in game, isn't it usually the same answer, you know, which means the other people need to be listening.
You got to pay attention.
You got to pay attention. You got to do it.
They're making it hard for y'all, folks.
I know.
They're
it's
making
a good
it extremely
prize.
Hard.
Josh is saying he did. I said the franchise. He said I didn't say it included the Oilers. I said the franchise. The franchise is both.
Yes.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Josh.
They lump
both of them in.
It is the franchise. Yeah. Bum Phillips never coached for the Titans.
He did not.
615-737-1025. Logan. Logan, welcome in.
All right, Logan, you ready?
Logan. All right.
Logan's
gone. Logan's
Next
not
up.
There.
Next up.
You brought up the wrong one. That's what it was. Logan. That Now we have Logan.
Now we have Logan, a.k.a. Wolverine. Logan.
Is it the same two questions?
No, it is not.
No.
Okay. Hit me, Ben.
All right. On that 2014 staff, Ken Whisenhunt's staff for the Titans, one of the assistant coaches was Sylvester Croom. He was the running back coach. What SEC school was he the head football coach for in addition to being an assistant coach for the Titans?
What SEC school was Sylvester Croom a head coach for?
Yes.
I believe it was Mississippi State.
That is correct.
Boom.
All right, Logan, take it home here. With a win on Sunday, Mike Vrabel will be tied for third all-time on the franchise, which includes the Oilers, win list behind Jeff Fisher and Bum Phillips. Who is currently third?
Third, Jack Pardee.
That is correct.
We got one.
Congratulations. Logan is going to Luke Combs and has won tickets before you can buy them. Logan, we'll put you on hold and get your info. There you go. Jack Pardee.
Hey, man, I can give it up to
Jack
you guys.
Pardee.
That was tough.
Did you know before I told you the answer, would you have gotten that?
Nah, I don't think I would have gotten that.
See, the hint I was going to give was Floyd fired him halfway through the 94 season and Jeff Fisher took over. And that
Somebody said Jerry Glanville, didn't they?
Yeah.
They did.
Okay.
And I don't know where Glanville would be. I mean, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
He was there for a long time, but I don't know where.
You know, not quite as long as you would think because he got fired. By Bud Adams, and then
hired Bum Phillips, right?
No, he was after Bum.
Yeah, he was after.
But he went to the Falcons and kept coaching for a while. Jerry Glanville, I think, post his time with the Oilers, and I think Pardee may have taken over for Glanville. If I'm not mistaken,
I think that could be right.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. We're going to make you work for the Luke Combs tickets. That's how this works. We'll come back, talk about Week 1, the matchup tonight. As you get ready for Stillman and Company, that's coming up. Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase William DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Stillman and Company coming up next. as Jared and Caroline will give their predictions on Tannehill's season and his career path going forward. That's how they will lead off the show. But tonight, it all kicks off as the Buffalo Bills, picked by a lot of people to win the Super Bowl this year. We did our predictions. I have them winning the Super Bowl.
They're the favorite in Vegas.
They are the favorite, taking on the defending Super Bowl champions, Los Angeles Rams. I think this is going to be a good football game tonight. I have the Bills winning the game. I think the line is 2.5. Last time I looked, they are the favorite. Rams are a home dog, but I do like Buffalo tonight, and I think this is going to be a big season for Josh Allen.
No Odell Beckham, no Von Miller.
No Andre Whitworth.
Von Miller now with the Bills.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Rams still have a lot of really good players. I believe Van Jefferson is hurt. Is he not? Is he playing tonight? I think he's been banged up.
He is out tonight.
He's out. Allen Robinson. Yeah. That's a very intriguing guy for this team because they need, with no Robert Woods, no Odell, Van Jefferson hurt. Like we talked about the fantasy season, like when we were talking a few weeks ago, we all looked at Van Jefferson as a possible breakout guy. But now he's hurt, so Allen Robinson is the guy, really, to take some heat off of Cooper Kupp. Otherwise, you'd have like 7 guys covering Cooper Kupp. Like, that's what I might try. But, of course, this is a really good defense in general. Matthew Stafford, arm issues, supposedly, missing some practice time. Is that going to be a thing when the season starts? It's a training camp thing, but Sean McVay saying, no, not a big deal. He's going to be all right. But are the Rams still going to be a team that looks like the Rams? Most people think as long as they got Jalen Ramsey back there and Aaron Donald up front, they're still going to find ways to be really good.
Again, I think they just could be a little slow out of the gates.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this team, this is a good matchup, a good week one matchup. And you just wonder, and I brought this up earlier, you just wonder if, the Rams, are they still have that hangover, that Super Bowl hangover? And you never really say this about coaches after they win a Super Bowl, but it's almost like to me, McVay can have a Super Bowl hangover. He looks like the type of guy that he could have a Super Bowl hangover and it could trickle down to his team.
Huh.
Well, McVay and Les Snead just got an extension through 2026. So.
Here's the other thing about the hangover. Last year was the first 17-game season.
I had a hangover Sunday.
We've been there.
We've all been there.
Yeah, we've been there. Good movie, The Hangover, by the way. Probably not the sequel, but the first one, very good. Last year was the first 17-game season ever. So they played the 17 games. They did not win the division. Remember, they had to play in the wild card. So they played 21 games. So that's more than anybody's ever had to play. So is that a thing? Do you think that the one extra game, two more than in theory you might have to play someday if you got a bye?
I think
you're worried about that?
I think them, not having, the guys that they had last year, whether it's Vance Johnson, Vance Jefferson.
There was a Vance Johnson, for John Elway.
Exactly. Jefferson or Odell Beckham. Andre Whitworth is gone. They're starting all-pro left tackle. Miller's gone.
Yeah.
Yes, they do still have Aaron Donald. Leonard Floyd's still there. Jalen Ramsey's still there. But having to replace those guys that we talked about, I mean, that's huge.
And they have, I don't think, any draft picks until like 2050.
Something like that. They, what's crazy? They only have 2 tight ends listed on their roster, Tyler Higbee and Bryson Hopkins. We saw Hopkins in the Super Bowl, and that was kind of Bryson's coming out party for, he had modest numbers, hadn't really done much out of Purdue. So I'm wondering how they're going to use him this year.
We talked about the running back, too.
Cam Akers.
Cam Akers, it's a big season for him. Remember, he missed almost the entire year last year, right? Came in there. So what is he bringing to the table? A lot of question marks for a defending champion. I'm most concerned, though, with the arm of Matthew Stafford. Is there something – we've been hearing so much smoke about it. We're going to see it, and he faces a tough defense to start.
I saw this tweet from Schefter earlier today. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford underwent an off-season elbow procedure to deal with the pain he experienced last season and to help prepare for this season, per sources. Despite the questions about his elbow, Stafford is now said to feel better today than he did this time last year.
We'll find out. We will see. We will see.
So, you got final picks? I said Bills. Bills win tonight.
Yeah, I got the Bills winning this.
I'll take the Rams tonight.
Okay.
Be different.
Willie will be different.
Are you taking them because you truly believe they're
going
to win?
I'm just going opposite just of different. You guys.
Yeah.
Going opposite.
Going opposite.
You're going opposite.
Going opposite. It's worked for a lot of people who listen to our shows over the years. Whoever the expert, whoever the panel picks, go opposite. Well, that way, the other thing is one of us will be right.
Yeah, I guess
one or two of us will be right. Somebody, we got our bases covered. Also, a night off for the Mets and the Braves tonight. The Mets got back on the beam, swept the Pirates. The Braves just never lose. What is the Braves' record in their last 88 games?
I don't know.
64-24.
Good grief.
Is that good?
It's not bad.
64. They were 22-27 to start the season. Since then, they are 64-24. Yesterday, the A's get ahead of them. It's 2-0. You're thinking,
Strider
maybe, battles. Maybe. And then here comes the home run ball. Grissom, Swanson. I mean, they hit the long ball. They just do not lose.
You can't catch.
They're not re-signing Dansby. Like, he's gone. Because they don't need him.
They've got so many other guys.
Yeah.
He's
going to get paid. And
no question.
He deserves it. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to be back.
Now, their next test is pretty tough because under the radar.
Seattle
has had a great season. They've been right up there with the Braves and the Dodgers among the hottest teams in baseball over the last couple of months. So that's a challenging series for them coming up.
We'll see how it goes. The Mets have a half-game lead. Both teams off tonight, and that race is heating up. We'll talk more about tonight's opener in the NFL. We'll do that tomorrow. Eddie George at 1 o'clock, but stick around. Stillman and Company, they will talk about Ryan Tannehill and his season. That's all coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, the game.
We out.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.